Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
You've seen it. If you really know your wife, if you really know your husband, there was one that said, how well do you know your husband? What's his handicap? So I sent it to my wife, and her answer was 4. Wow. That's what I said.
Jeremy White.
But here's the thing. I ended up with a win either way. She guessed I'm a 4. I am not a 4. But she said, I Googled what's a good golfer's handicap, which means she thinks I'm a good golfer. So I'll take that win.
And Joe DiBiase.
But now she knows that she's wrong.
Well, she doesn't have
from
the right...
her Google search standard, you now have to tell her that I am actually indeed not a good golfer.
I'm not a 4.
She knew what the range of numbers is in the first place, like what it means. Like, she would know a low number is better than a high number for this.
That's a good question. She just Googled what's a good golfer's handicap, and then
she
responded,
said that's got to be the number.
4.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. Jeremy and Joe.
The weekend.
Almost.
Yeah. It's 5,000 degrees in this room. Is it just me? Is it that I was up late last night?
No. It is a million degrees in here. Yeah.
It's really hot in here. Odd. Anyway, happy Friday. Happy weekend.
It tends to be like before 7 a.m. especially for some reason. It's like this part of the building hasn't woke, or I don't even know. It's just this room, whatever.
I wish I'd got an iced coffee instead of a regular coffee. I can cool my core down here.
Yeah, I'm wearing a linen shirt, so I made the right call. I'm not kidding. I do dress for this room in the morning. Like, knowing it's going to be 81 degrees in this room for the first 2 hours of the show. Yeah, I'm dressing as though I'm doing the show outside in the heat of July, basically. Yeah.
Outside would be nice. It's beautiful outside. Yeah. It's that window, the time of year where the sun is up at, what, like 5:30? It's light outside.
Yeah.
Really early.
Yep.
Which is nice. So, yeah.
Rather than in the middle of the winter when it's like the 8:30 segment before I even see the sun in here.
I know. Really nice. So, enjoy your weekend. Happy Father's Day in advance, everyone out there. It's 54 degrees now. Not exactly like hot outside, and actually should be cool this weekend. Highs in the 70s. Sunday looks like 78. So, some passing rain here and there. Were you watching last night when Reinhardt scored?
I'm falling asleep before some of these games. I watched it back this morning, though.
That game did go long, even though, and I don't even mean it went into overtime. I mean, the end of the second period, it was late for a game that started at 8 p.m.
I think the reason, by the way, that is happening to me, do you have a streaming platform? Or you don't have, do you have streaming or play your cable?
Streaming, yeah.
Okay. Do you have a streaming platform where you can record, like DVR it or record it?
Yeah.
Because that's what I have. So these games at night, whether the NBA Finals, the NHL Finals, I will while I'm watching it, I will be recording it, knowing, like, maybe this is why it's happening to me. In my head, it's like, it's okay if I fall asleep right here because I could just pick the game up from wherever I think I left off in the morning before the show, not look up what happened, which is what I would have done this morning, and go, oh, Reinhardt. At the end, like, react to it as though I was watching it live. So yeah. I should have just said yes. It's really the same.
I was up when Reinhardt scored. I did not see the overtime winner. I fell asleep at that point.
I mean, three overtime games in a series. What are they doing to us?
And one blowout. This one looked like it was going to be a blowout. You know, the thing about this series, this matchup, Florida and Edmonton, so they're tied at two games apiece. Mm-hmm. This goes back to last year, too. It is the, again, without trying to make it about arguing whether or not momentum is real, it is a momentum-proof series.
Yeah.
Because last year, Florida had a 3-0 lead, and like, oh, it's over now. Oh, wait, Edmonton won 3 in a row, and then Florida won the 7th game. Last night, Florida's up 3-0. 3-3. 4-3 Edmonton. I guess they had all the momentum. Reinhardt scores 4-4. Oh, yeah. Okay, Florida's got it back, and then Edmonton wins in overtime.
Yeah.
So it is a momentum-proof matchup. You can never, and that probably comes down to, you probably can't bury either one of these teams. You can't bury.
No, they're too good.
You definitely can't bury Edmonton, and Florida found that out. They're up 2-1 and 3-0 in the series. That's the kind of frozen moment in time we use on the Leafs after they lose a series.
Mm-hmm.
You had it.
Yeah.
It was there for you.
Yeah, theirs was. They were up 2-0 in the series and up 2-0 in game 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they lost it.
And this was Florida up 2-1, and they're up 3-0.
Right. If we're Sabres fans,
after the first.
If the Sabres are in that spot, up 2-1, up 3-0, we are coming in today devastated.
Oh, yeah.
You were.
We're looking. Pitchforks are out. Everyone's looking for somebody to go after.
Yeah, because you were just made. It was right there for you.
It really, I mean, that's another classic game last night. Is this going to be one of the best hockey, like, final rivalries of our lifetime?
Yeah.
Like, I'll often mention that, like, I got more into the NBA than ever because Cavs-Warriors was just a 4-year battle.
It was so good.
And hockey has not had two opponents like that on the biggest stage at the end. You know, I mean, again, some of these might be basketball examples, but go back to Celtics and Lakers in the 80s. Like, rivalries that become rivalries because you just meet in the finals. Yep. And this is only twice, but look at what these two teams have done through 11 games of finals action in the last year and a month, basically. And I don't know that they would meet again next year or the year after, but maybe. I mean, I would take it. I would take it every day of the week to just see these. Just give me these two teams every year battling back and forth.
It is how rivalries are supposed to form, instead of the league giving you a format where they guarantee two teams play in the second round.
Right.
This is how it's supposed to happen.
Right.
Yeah, if you're asking,
where they're both like on an equal playing field.
Yep. Yeah. And they get to the same spot every. That's how Bills Chiefs has happened.
Right.
You get to the same spot. You meet in these moments all the time. That might be. I don't know if it's a rivalry for the Chiefs. Whatever. But yeah, this is.
But like Panthers Oilers is like, they're one series away from it being a rivalry, right? I don't know if I would call it a rivalry right now, but I think you can get there. I think you could get there even if you're in opposite conferences. If you play in the finals, you get to a third time playing each other. Like that's an all-time hockey rivalry.
One good question would be, if the Oilers were to win this series and it's 1-1,
yeah,
and then they meet again next year,
yeah,
is it as intense?
No, it's more intense.
You think it's more intense?
I think it's
because,
yeah, it's like two heavyweight, but it's Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, and Frazier wins the first one and Ali wins the second one.
That's
and
right.
I'm not alive for that, but I'm imagining the hype for the third one was like unbelievable,
yeah,
because they each had one. This is like a winner go home game 3 almost.
I guess the thing I wonder is it bigger if one team is the team that wins? Like the Bills-Dolphins rivalry, where the Dolphins won for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills-Chiefs, why do they always involve the Bills losing? Right, where the Chiefs win all these games. If Florida won again and they meet a third time, I don't know. I feel like as an independent observer, you might get a little bit more juice. The Cavs-Warriors was about how the Cavs were such underdogs, and then they got one.
Right. The Warriors got the first one. The Cavs got the second one. That helped. That did help it a lot, right?
Yep.
If the Cavs lose the second one, And then we go to the third one. Yeah, the juice probably isn't quite the same. It still would have been pretty good, but yeah. I think it is better if it goes 1-1
I would sign up right now for these two teams to play in next year's Cup final. They're great games. I mean,
you'd be guaranteeing no Sabres in the finals, though, if you do that.
You know what? I feel comfortable.
I feel comfortable.
Yes, I feel like I am. I'm not picking up a lottery ticket on the street.
Yeah. No, I would take this too. Also, how about Jeff Skinner leading the game in expected goals last night of any player? Have 79%. He almost had the OT winner.
It would have been incredible.
It would have been awesome if he had the OT winner. And did you see the camera angle from the behind the net or in the net of that sequence where it's Skinner and one of his line mates, I forget which one, are like trying to bang the puck in, and it's sitting there, and Bobrovsky's like out on top of his crease, and the puck goes off a guy's skate, off the post, then it hits someone's stick, then it hits a guy's toe, and then it finally falls under, like, you can't believe this puck didn't go into the back of the net. So he was very close to getting the winner. But it's Draisaitl again. So
Draisaitl, who has now four
overtime goals.
Game-winning goals? Four?
I think that's right. He's two in the series.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I saw that goal, and on the replay, of course, it gets deflected. So.
Yep.
Is Bobrovsky mad? Or is that to me, that looks like, we'll ask you as a goalie, but that's a defender's laying down, trying to make a play because it's a little mini two-on-one. There are other guys back-checking it. It's a bit of a frantic play because, who is it? Gaffer, to pass it over to Draisaitl. Doesn't even probably mean to get it all the way to him.
Right.
The pass goes all the way across. Draisaitl like finds himself with the puck, right. And it's not exactly a very sexy shot.
Yeah, it's kind of a
shot.
Broken play, backhand shot, sort of shoveled at the net. Yeah. So I don't know that Bobrovsky would be mad about it alone in and of itself as a goal, but I think in the moment you probably want to get that.
Yeah.
It goes through him a little bit.
Even if it's deflected, you're still mad?
Anything through you, you don't feel great about, regardless of deflection or, you know, situational factors. Like, anything that goes through five hole, in between your elbows, that kind of goal is generally something that a goalie does not want to give up ever.
Yeah.
So I would say that he probably wants that one back, considering the moment. It's not necessarily his fault, I don't think, but it's one you want to have that.
Yeah, tough one for him. The Reinhardt goal, man.
Oh.
When it's funny, Reinhardt and Eichel have probably different reactions around here.
Well, I think Reinhardt is a better approval rating.
I agree. Still. I don't think there is as much "I hope that guy loses" as there is for Jack. I did go down the rabbit hole last night. All I did after Reinhardt scored was I searched the phrase "two marshmallows" from I wrote at our website, "I want two marshmallows." The idea was the Sabres just drafted Reinhardt. I want them to tank one more time for McDavid or Eichel.
Okay.
And all the pictures of Eichel and Reinhardt together, I saw somebody with a picture of their kids. It's outside a Harbor Center, and there's Eichel and Reinhardt on the sides of two young kids, and the kid's shirt says, "The future starts now." Like, it's just, it's so wild to see it. And Reinhardt is different. And I think about him, I think the reason people think about him differently is because while, you know, Jack's divorce from Buffalo was not friendly and it involved surgery and medical situations and really messy stuff, Reinhardt's was just, they don't want to sign me long term.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had enough of it, so I'm going to leave.
Right.
And I think a lot of Sabres fans would say, yeah, that was kind of dumb that they never were willing to pony up long term for him. And he decided he wanted to leave. And he also got plenty of grief for how they played. He might not have had the best relationship with the media. Some of them were after him a bit. And to see him now, it's like watching, it's like when I watch my dog run full speed in a park. I think, yeah, look at that guy. Look at him go. Look at him. He's free, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did he get the benefit of that, though, with like how the relationship ended? Eichel had the long-term contract, so for him to get out, you know, in the middle of it, like squarely in the middle of it. The only way that probably was going to happen was going to be an ugly one, right? If Reinhart was, if Jason Botterill did the right thing and had signed him to an 8-year contract in 2017, then okay, when Jack might want out, you know, Reinhart's into year 3 of his contract instead of I've got 1 year left and I'm not even actually he was a restricted free agent, right? He didn't even have a contract. So, you know, kind of a cleaner break. If he's in the middle of a giant contract, is it uglier? Because I could argue that it would be a lot uglier just based on what the contract would be.
Probably.
Like, he might have to make it ugly to get out. Because he couldn't do the thing that he could have done at the end, which was, I'll sign the one-year contract with you, but I'm not tied here. I'm not tied to this long-term. And I could be a UFA in a year. Like, frankly, I'm gonna go do that. Whereas if he's got 5 years left on the contract, you can't say that to the team.
Yeah, that's right.
So it could be a lot that them not paying him, I think, kind of helps him in his post, post relationship with Sabre fans. That might be why he's more liked, but not totally, because Eichel was still the kingpin of it, right? Like, as much as it was the two of them, they're riding the tandem bicycle into training camp the 1 year. Remember that?
Yep.
Like, they are together. But everyone knew that Eichel was Batman and Reinhart was Robin.
And the only, if you want to go really deep into why that is, it really might only be the way in which the Sabres acquired the player and got that pick.
Yeah.
Because the Reinhart last place wasn't a race, and it wasn't close.
Right.
They were just horrific.
They were just really bad.
They were just really bad. Right. They finished with 52 points. 52. The next closest team had 66.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
14 points.
You really might get down to the difference between the two is that for one of them, you could sleep through the season and, like, did they win the lottery? No, they're picking second. Okay, great. And for the second one, you had wackos like me coming in here every day and saying, it's very important they lose tonight. Right? And they get that one by what, 2 points, 3 points? There are three teams involved. There's a lottery where had they won it, it would have been a big deal, as opposed to the Reinhart lottery. That's Ekblad and Reinhart and Dreisaitl, by the way, and Bennett. But It's not even just that it's Eichel and Reinhart. It's that Dreisaitl and McDavid are that year, and so is Ekblad, and so is Bennett. Everybody around that one was much less whatever. I think that's a part of it. You were able to just not be annoyed by the Reinhart last place and the Eichel last place annoyed a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are. He scores that goal, and Gretzky said about him last night, Wayne Gretzky. Huh. Wayne Gretzky said Sam Reinhart might be one of the smartest hockey players to ever play.
I mean, that was the thing said about him the day he walked into the NHL, wasn't
hockey
it?
Hockey IQ
guy.
I remember
and
something
like,
else.
But like, you do see, like, he, it's why that power play for Florida works so well, because he's in the high slot and he is always making the right read. He's always making the right decision. I mean, even his game-tying goal, he actually makes the right play and then it ends up bouncing back to him. He scores. But how many guys there, they might score anyway, but how many guys there would get the puck off that cross-ice pass and would just rip it right into the goaltender? Whereas the play he makes, where he has the mindset to see Tkachuk is in the slot, and instead of me ripping this from this angle, if I just tee this up for him, then that's a better scoring chance. Like, he already has seen that, mapped that out in his mind before that puck has even arrived. And then it goes off Tkachuk's skate and back to him, and he ends up scoring. So the play he's trying to make, you know, he gets fortunate, I guess, that it comes back to him. But that's one even there where, like, he's making a pass to that slot that I bet less than 5% of players in the league would make. He's definitely one of the smartest players in the league. I don't have a ranking ready to go. Like, who's the smartest NHL player ever, but
people would say Gretzky, right?
Probably.
He's one of them. And here's Gretzky saying, yeah, him.
Yeah.
He's one of them. I remember one other famous, not exactly as famous as, like, Wayne Gretzky saying it, but I remember Kevin Devine with the Sabres at the time
Talking
about Reinhart maybe that draft year before they drafted him, saying he's a playmaker that's as good at right now, like at the junior level, as good a playmaker as Sidney Crosby. That's what he said. Maybe it was he was as good a passer as Sidney Crosby, something like that. Because, you know, it was just like, whoa, all right, this is an NHL personnel person saying Crosby.
Yeah. Well, isn't the IQ thing, the thing you hear about Zach Benson more than anybody in on the Sabres, maybe even since Reinhart?
It's how he made the team, right?
It's 100% how he made the team. And listen, there are not, you know, I'm not saying Benson's going to become Reinhart and score 57 goals one day.
Who will he do it for? Sorry. Go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
But he, like, one, Reinhart wasn't even in the league yet. Remember, he showed up and played, he played his 9 games for the Sabres in the tank season. So after he gets drafted, and he doesn't do anything, and he gets sent down. Like, clearly wasn't ready, so he goes back down. And even, like, I remember him early on. Like, his shot wasn't really there. It's definitely better than what Benson's is right now, but, like, I was looking at a stat the other day from Evolving Hockey, EVD, which is, like, how they try to individualize defense in the league. And, like, who are the best defenders? Reinhart's number one in the league among forwards this season, and Benson was 7th. Among all forwards. Then you look at the Selke voting, and Reinhart finished 2nd. So, like, he's getting the reputation for that. But, you know, the hockey IQ, his shot got better over time. He got bigger. He was pretty scrawny, I think, when he first showed up. So
his skating, he wasn't fast enough.
That's right.
A lot of stuff like that.
He is definitely elevated as he's gotten older. And, you know, that helps when you go to Florida, I think. But even that last year with the Sabres, 25 goals in 54 games. Like, he was starting, the goals were starting to come. And then they exploded.
Yeah. Samson Reinhart. He also, when he got drafted, told us he preferred to be called Samson.
Yeah.
And that did not last in the NHL.
No,
he is not called Samson in the NHL. He is Sam.
No, I've never heard it. Rhino is his nickname at Hockey Reference, by the way. I've also never heard that one. That's like the hockey pet name, though, isn't it?
You never heard Rhino?
I've heard Rhino?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yep. Samson.
But that's like what they would call him in the locker room, right?
For sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He tried that out. He tried to tell people, I prefer Samson, and it just didn't. Everyone's like, okay.
Yeah.
And never called him that. Anyway, 803-0550, the Stanley Cup Final has been great. It's tied at 2 games apiece.
Florida lost, by the way, last night.
Yes, they did.
If you're confused, like, I was going all in on how good Reinhart and Florida
They lost to Dreisaitl, who went after Reinhart in the draft.
Right.
Yep.
And Bennett, who also went after him, leads the playoffs in goals.
Yeah. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. The game was great. The golf was good. The golf was great. I would even say the golf was great. And we'll talk about it with Brian Koziel on the other side. Round one at Oakmont in the books, and you know, things get started shortly here for round two. There's a little bit of, I was told this course was going to be tougher because the scores are not carnage.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the guys are over par. And
all but 10.
All but 10.
Mm-hmm.
I bet we finish with no one over par. I feel good about that right now. Yep, because who's the farthest guy that's up? The lead is 4.
Yes. 4 under for Spahn.
Yeah. 4 under for Spahn.
Who made, we'll talk with Brian about it, but he didn't make a bogey. He made every putt.
He didn't make a bogey. Did you see going into the tournament, there was a betting special? Any player to go bogey free in an 18 holes?
No, I hadn't seen that.
And it was like a good return, and Spahn did it.
Yeah.
But the thing about this tournament and this course is, okay, so he's 4 under. Let me tell you, there are more than 4 bogeys waiting for him out there. Mm-hmm. And the number of birdies there are, as the course gets tougher and tougher, it's so much easier out there to make a bogey or a double or a triple than it is to get those strokes back. Like, you know, you watch these majors, you watch Augusta, you think like, oh, all right, par 5 coming up, that's a birdie hole, this is a birdie hole, here's an eagle hole, right? Rory gets eagle on, is it 15? Like, there's a couple holes at Augusta where, is he going to play for the eagle? That kind of doesn't really exist. So you have so many more opportunities to lose strokes than to gain strokes that the fact that only 10 players are under par, I think, is an indication that, like, it's not going to be a tournament where the score continues to creep lower. I would bet it creeps higher. We'll get Brian's thoughts on that. Brooks Koepka in the mix.
All the other big names kind of...
Bryson's 3-over.
Yep, Scheffler's 3-over. Rory's 4-over and slammed a club yesterday.
He blew up, Rory.
Where did Lowry end up? Because he threw a rake. Lowry shot a... He was 9-over.
What's the high number? What was the high number for the day? I didn't see that yet.
The worst score?
The high score for the day.
George... here you go. Against some airtime. George Demani.
Okay.
He shot an 86.
Woo!
That is 16-over par. Just over Roberto Diaz, who shot an 85.
86.
You had a 16-under, a 15-under, a 14-under, a 13-under, a 12-under. Like, you had somebody at every score below 16-under. So it wasn't like...
Over par, sorry.
Who was the guy at the PGA who shot like a 91?
Oh, I forget.
I forgot who it was. But it was like him at the bottom and then like a 10-stroke gap and then the next guy.
Yeah.
This was like, oh, this guy shot an 86, but he's not alone. Like he's got a lot of company down there in the mid-80s.
All right. 803-0550. Brian Koziel, when we return, we'll chat about the U.S. Open as we head to round two. And... get to Sal at 7 as well. Bills rep minicamp. Max Hairston missed practice, not thought to be serious. Brandon Bean updating everybody on health, and it looks like everything's good. So now the wait until we start training camp in about 5-6 weeks. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring. It's a Friday, free-for-all Friday. You know, give us a call on literally anything. And we'll recap our party at Waylon last night, which was great. Thanks again to everybody that came. Thanks to Waylon for putting on a great party like they always do. Watch the game there. It's a good time. Got great weather, great friends, great times.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
305.50 on WGR.
At the fourth, Patrick Reed. At his second from 286 yards away.
Unbelievable! He doesn't even know that he dunked it now. Yep.
A two, Patrick. Boy, talk about a rare one. Fourth albatross in U.S. Open history since they really started keeping records.
I mean, since they started keeping records. What do you think, guys in the 30s were smoking wooden clubs 250 yards?
Right. That's a good point.
Maybe they were. I don't know.
I mean,
how far did they hit it back then?
Not 392 like Rory did the other day. He hit 392.
392, yeah.
Brian Koziol, in just one moment, want to get a thought in. Jeff and Welland here has called in. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. No, I was just thinking, I was listening to you guys when you were talking about comparing Reinhardt and Eichel. And I think with Reinhardt never, nobody didn't like him because he didn't cause like a turmoil like Eichel did. But I think the big thing with Eichel is that I think a lot of people had resentment because, let's be realistic, we should have ended up with McDavid that year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Anyone that says
I think that, but
anyone that says you should have thinks that you should win something that has a 20% chance of happening.
And also, did it feel like anybody was thinking that in the 6 years he was here or whatever it was?
Maybe.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you when you made the Benson comment, though.
there are elements of Reinhardt in Benson. I don't think he'll ever be able to shoot like Reinhardt can, but I think there are elements of it.
Brian Koziol on the Western Hotline. Good morning, Brian.
Gentlemen, good morning. Happy Friday.
Were you watching when Reinhardt scored that goal last night?
Yeah. he's had a tremendous, 3 year run now with Florida.
Yeah.
He
really
to
has.
Put all together the regular season. Yeah, it's been great.
We kind of opened up talking about how like there seems to be a lot less resentment for him. There's probably a number of factors in there, but he scores an incredible goal for them. Well, whatever, a big goal, and they go to overtime, but ultimately lose. Now it's 2-2. So Brian, the U.S. Open here, round one, we saw maybe a lower score than anticipated, but only 10 guys under par, as the number seems like it's not that far off.
I think it's playing exactly maybe how they would want it to be and just even how I would want it to be. I think we know this is the tournament that they would love the winning score to come in at even par. And for 10 players out of a field of, what do we got here, 156, I think that's about right. And then, you know, today, at least half of those guys are going to shoot over par and put themselves back. So you'll probably have maybe even a few less. So I think it's playing fine. I don't think I heard anybody, correct me if I'm wrong on this, I don't think I heard any player come off yesterday and complain about something being unfair or unjust, like maybe we have had, a decade ago in this event. So I guess overall the course is playing really hard and really challenging, but nobody is saying that it's unfair or that something is tricked out to the point that they're not being rewarded for shots. What I liked yesterday, even though it did play hard and we saw a lot of, you know, bogeys and double bogeys, was that there were some birdie opportunities out there. Guys were making some birdies, so we did see at least a little swing in the leaderboard. Even though maybe you got to plus three, you're able to get it back to even, or you know, vice versa, it could have flipped the other way for you. So it's not impossible to make a birdie, and that's always all I ever ask for in this U.S. Open is, like, look, if someone does hit a great shot, like, they should have a chance to make a birdie or at least get a chance to get a stroke back. It's tougher sometimes in these events where they set it up where it's almost impossible to make a birdie, and then there isn't that rapid fluctuation in the leaderboard like we love so much with some of the other majors. So I loved how it played on day one.
I also feel like I want to say anytime when you see a shot that looks like it's 10 feet from the flag and rolls 100 yards away, I think there might be, and I understand this course is set up to be tough, that there might be a knee-jerk reaction to say, like, wow, they're not rewarding great shots. But the reality is that these players would know where they can and can't miss. And if you miss to the right side of a flag that you know you can't miss right and it rolls 100 yards away, that might be hard to execute to get it on the correct spot, but you know that's coming. So sometimes I think, Brian, it can look a lot worse than it is in terms of how it's randomly punitive when in reality it is exactly the challenge it's supposed to be.
I agree. And, you know, yesterday's a great example of that. But, I mean, we get a yearly reminder of that when we watch the Masters. The greens, guys know where to hit it, where to miss. And sometimes a shot that looks close ends up off the green or, as you said, you know, rolls out 100 feet. So, yeah, you're right. They know where exactly that they can hit it and still be rewarded and have a great shot. One thing that can be challenging about this course, and just from being there a couple of times from previous U.S. Opens, the slope of just the Pittsburgh area, there's gravity and there's different slope because it is such a hilly area that the greens sometimes look a little flatter than what they are. So it can be a little more confusing or challenging at times. But What I found to be interesting is that there isn't a lot of golf courses that have a lot of greens that are actually sometimes pitched from front to back. A lot of courses have it where, you know, it is pitched. It's a little lower in the front, and then it's a little higher in the back, I guess, elevation-wise, to make sense with that. There are some that actually pitch down. Like, number one does that right away. So ball control and height and the trajectory you come in at and how you want it to land. If it's a front pin on a hole like number one, you might have to land it in front of the green even. But they do have all these runoff areas, and it's firm. So it's not like you can't play it in front of the green if you feel like you need to. So I think the players, I'm sure, are aware of those holes that they can do that or holes that they can't. So, but it's a little different than some of the most of the traditional golf courses that any of us would play. Usually if there's any sort of elevation or pitch to the green, it's always from that you know, lower in the front, higher in the back. There's some of the greens that are a little bit different in that capacity here.
How about the leader, Brian? JJ Spaun, who has been in contention. You might have seen him at the Players Championship if you watch golf enough. How capable do you think he is of being like toe-to-toe, beginning to end, at least contender? Like, he's not, you know, out of nowhere guy that you would expect, like, oh, he'll fall off. But what would you give his chances of kind of going through the whole four rounds as the leader here?
I'd still say it's lower than maybe the average leader, just because we haven't seen him close the deal. If this was Saturday, I'd say, okay, he's already through two. But, I mean, he's still got a whole nother three rounds to get through. But, yeah, you're right. His moment of the year was at the Players when he actually had a putt to win on 18, if you remember, to beat McIlroy by one. And he ended up just missing that putt and then went to a playoff. And Rory really took it to him in that playoff. But, I mean, he's ranked 25th in the world. So he's had a good year. And on paper, if anybody was ranked 25th in the world and they won a major, I don't think anybody would scoff at that. So I guess I'd say he's earned being in this discussion, and I like his, he seems like he's just kind of got such a low-key kind of chill mentality, which you need in an event like this where you're going to struggle and it's a grind over 72 holes. So overall, I got to think that, you know, he has to feel good about where he's at. I don't know if I would predict that he's going to go on and win, but I'm not rooting for him to go away. I think he's kind of an interesting character to listen to. But, you know, on paper, from what he's done over the last year of golf, I guess we shouldn't say it's too much of a surprise.
Brian Koziol on the Western Hotline as we recap round one of the U.S. Open. So, Brian, what will happen in the next couple of days? Like, weather, conditions? That was a part of yesterday as well. It was said to be ideal conditions, and that probably won't hold up throughout the entire tournament.
Yeah, it's supposed to get, in terms of rain, could come into the forecast a little bit. I know this morning and into today, I think it's just going to be a cloudy day in Pittsburgh. 83 is what they have at the moment. But into the weekend, higher chances of rain, which, again, I don't know if that would make it any more difficult, other than the fact that maybe if your ball's in the rough and it's wet, it could be a little tougher to get it out. But fairways then become softer, greens become softer. Overall, I think, as long as there isn't like massive delays, players would be okay with softer conditions because that allows them to control the ball a little bit more. So I think I don't feel like I've read anything that's going to be causing play maybe to be delayed. If we get any rain over the course of the weekend, I think it's just going to be things that guys are going to have to play through.
How do you feel about Koepka's chances also right now at 2 under? He I'm trying to remember the last time he would have been in contention at a major, but it does feel like once a year at least, Brian, he's there right to the end.
Yeah, and he said that he feels a little bit better. He's been working with his coach and said that he had to make a change with something, and it looks like he's got it figured out. We haven't really seen Koepka be a serious major threat in the majors, I don't know, the last handful of them, but for him to miss cuts in a major, that's surprising. Like, both of his cuts, or both majors this year, he's missed the cut. That's surprising, because as you said, he normally seems to be a guy that can show up. He loves the majors. He's the one that was quoted by saying, you know, there's only 5 or 10 players that really can win this week in a major, of course, because he thinks half of them can't deal with the pressure, the other half of them maybe won't have their best game, and he loves playing in events like this. He's a bull. He's set up perfectly for an event. That's why all his majors are U.S. Opens and PGA Championships. Those are the harder, grinding sort of setups. So he seems to really, really be thriving in these sort of areas. I mean, he's got five career majors, so it's a Hall of Fame career already. Not a surprise if he's in contention.
It has been longer than I thought, though. You're right. Like, I'm thinking of the Masters where he was the leader going into Sunday and Rahm ends up winning. But that's the 20, that's 8-10 majors ago now. You're right. Like, the last six, he wins the PGA right after that. And then, like, you've got six majors in a row where he really hasn't been close. So I guess it has been a minute.
His round yesterday in terms of like strokes gain and under par was his best major round since Oak Hill round two, where he actually went, of course, we know, went on to win.
So extended tee to green this week, Brian. You guys are out at Pendleton Creek.
Yeah, Saturday morning, 7 to 9 at Pendleton Creek, and we'll be having a lot on the U.S. Open. And our good buddy Jeff Mitis, our PGA Pro expert, going to tell us how to handle hitting out a thick rough and how to putt on fast greens. So we'll talk a lot about that. We're looking forward to it.
I can tell you how to hit a thick rough. First, you fluff the ball up a lot out of the top of it. And then, All right. Thanks, Brian. Enjoy the tournament, and happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day to you and all the dads out there.
Brian Koziel on the Western Hotline. Ahead of round two. Round two, what do we got here? Are we going to get it on the TV? On the tube?
Yes.
I heard Schulte and Bulldog were fighting yesterday about control of the television. What was happening?
In here?
Yeah. Owen, what's going on?
Okay, no, wait. So I didn't respond because I didn't see it until like 50 minutes after. But Mike did text me at 529, is there a device in the studio that makes Peacock available?
Okay.
So, and it was a few minutes later, he said, never mind, we got it.
I did get a Bulldog report on this the second he walked in the door when we got home before we went out to Wayland.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, there were some struggles getting it to switch inputs.
Oh, right.
There was a remote issue, and Mike didn't believe my dad could get it to work. Mike bet my dad. My dad figured it out, and
wow,
$10 into my dad's Venmo.
What a
account.
Bet. I bet that's you can't get it up.
I know.
You
can't get it up.
I know. But yeah, Mike was like, you're not going to, the Peacock's missing. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get it. My dad, you know my dad. He's not going to let that go.
He got it done. Because
he would have torn that TV off the wall.
Because there wouldn't be, you know, like for me, it's easy, but there's not like, it's not an input button. It's an HDMI button that you have to hit on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
So you had to know, like, I'm not looking for input. I'm looking for HDMI, and then you hit that until you find the smart stick in the TV there.
Yeah, I think he had to get up and you know, hit some buttons manually like the old days.
Sal joins us top of the hour. Owen's, we come in today, so he's got some trivia for us.
I do.
I'm ready. Let's get some trivia on the other side. A little instant trivia, and Sal to wrap minicamp with us as well. Top of the hours, the Bills have called it, and injury news all looks good. We'll get the latest update from Sal coming up. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. All right, so Mr. Owen has put together an instant trivia for us.
Yes, so the Edmonton Oilers are trying to add themselves to this list. It is the last five Stanley Cup champions to have more than one goalie start for them in the playoffs.
Oh. Ooh, I like that. In the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
Okay. So, like, okay, right. The team I was just thinking of didn't win it. Philly with, when they played the Sabres, with like seven different goaltenders.
Yeah, they got to the Cup final.
Boucher and Leighton.
Michael Leighton.
And Bobrovsky started that series.
Is that right? Or is that's not a Marty year? No, Marty got to the Eastern Conference final.
Bobrovsky was game one and then pulled in game two. I don't think he came back in. And then it was between Boucher and Leighton. No, doesn't matter. They didn't win. Started different goalies. Did the Bruins start?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Rask and Thomas when they won?
I feel like that's a yes.
Bruins.
That is outside the last five
okay.
to do it.
Oh, the last
so
five.
Last
okay.
five. Most recent five.
Okay. And that's 2011? So, right, yeah. So they're all more recent than that?
Yeah, all of them more recent than that.
Well, it's happening pretty often then.
Yeah.
All right.
Did Florida get a start out of, like...
They didn't... Who was... Dreger started the playoff. Someone got hot down the stretch.
I think it was Lyon. They went to the final that year.
And
they
lost.
Did not win it.
Okay.
And then last year, Bobrovsky started every game.
Okay.
All right. Did Vegas start a bunch of goalies?
Vegas. They had four that started for them.
Aiden
Quick,
Hill,
Thompson, and Brossoit.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. All
That's
right.
wild.
Vegas is one.
Colorado?
Nope. That was Kemper the whole way.
Okay. Look at you dropping goalie trivia on us. He's like, here's a question I would know the answers to.
I didn't have to do any research for this either. This was all off the dome.
What about... Was one of the Pittsburgh Cups both Fleury and Matt Murray?
Yes. And that, yes, that's
the
correct.
First one. Well, not the first one. I guess their second one. The second of the 16. 16
correct.
Or 17?
16.
Okay. All right. How about
Washington?
Correct. Holtby and Grubauer. Grubauer started the playoffs for them that year, and Holtby came in.
Okay. How many more we have?
We got two more.
The Blues?
Nope. That was Binnington
was
the whole
Binnington.
Way through.
That's unfortunate.
Chicago, I don't think is... I don't... Could Chicago...
No, Tampa won back-to-back cups. Could Tampa have been...
Unless Vasilevskiy got hurt, they're never taking Vasilevskiy out. Oh, but is there a Vasilevskiy-Ben Bishop...
No.
Combo?
No, all Vasilevskiy for their cup runs.
Two in a row.
Okay.
We're back to, like, the Blackhawks with Corey Crawford and somebody.
Blackhawks
Anze
is correct.
Crawford.
No. What's that guy's name?
Antti Niemi?
Yes.
Scott Darling.
Oh, of course.
Scott Darling.
Everybody knows him.
Yep. Niemi, I think, is the starter for the first cup. That's before
correct.
Crawford gets there.
Yeah, right. 15 okay. was Darling and Crawford.
And there's one more?
I'll give you a hint. You've already named this team.
Colorado?
Nope.
Brr.
You said 2 years of one team.
LA?
Well, then it's Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, both years.
The other Pittsburgh?
Fleury started, and the 1 year, I think 17, Fleury got hurt. Second year, Murray just came in and played better than Fleury.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
There you go. There's your five.
Instant trivia. Edmonton trying to do that.
We
this
did.
Year.
I think we also got. Did we get six? Because
Thomas and Rask.
Thomas and Rask. Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go all the way back
one more back. There
you
go.
You want to go further back and go to Carolina.
I mean, no, we don't need to do that.
It's probably right.
Okay, Sal Capaccio on the other side. We'll wrap minicamp, the update on Max Hairston, who missed practice, what Brandon Bean had to say about the Bills and their injury issues or lack of injury issues heading to training camp, which is the next stop. Next stop, training camp. Sal wraps minicamp next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.